Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Walter Dean for the show called Getting It Done. This afternoon, I planned on having a tit-for-tat concerning Miles Davis, one of the greatest trumpet players in the field of jazz. Actually, he set the tone for all jazz artists. Louis Armstrong laid down the foundation, and the next person to take up the banner was Dizzy Gillespie, and after Dizzy came Miles, or around the same time as Miles. In any event, today's show will not take place. I didn't bother to cancel it because I wanted to explain to my audience why it's not going to occur. Primarily because I'm on the road, and I decided that I was going to do when I got to where my location is going to be, which is going to be in Virginia, but I'm still in North Carolina, even though I left at a reasonable time. What happens is that you lay down plans to do something, and they don't always turn out the way you want them to. But I still would like to tell you a few things about Miles. The first time I ever saw Miles Davis was at the Apollo Theater in New York City around 1962. I was in the service at the time. In the Army Reserve Band, actually. But I had an opportunity to sit down in the Apollo Theater to see Moms Mabley, who was in the on the program, as well as Pygmy Martin, and then later on Miles, who closed the show out with some of his fantastic playing. I was really in awe of his ability, his clear sound, and sometimes trumpet players have a tendency to not be sure of what their notes are going to be, so it's like a little strange sound that comes out before they are actually regaining the control of their breath to push the sound through the horn. You never heard that with Miles. Miles' sounds were always pure. Plus, the sounds were so different, even with a mute or without a mute. He seemed to be able to play that trumpet with such a sweetness that most people can't even begin to understand. He never played the song like it was written. If he played My Funny Valentine, some of the notes, instead of them being sharp, he would make them flat. And if they were supposed to be flat, he would make them sharp. Or he would make them natural. Miles was a creative genius. When he finally put together a jazz group that put together probably the greatest album of all time, and Kinda Blue, that album sold over 12 million copies and is still selling today as one of the all-time greatest albums to ever be sold in jazz. And to make a long story short about Miles and that particular album, he and Bill Evans, who actually played the piano for him at that particular time, Bill was a creative genius unto himself and a fantastic arranger. He and Miles had gotten together, but the rest of the musicians were not had not gotten together to even discuss what was going to be played that night, which was played in a church. It was recorded in a church. However, Miles had stuff written down on a little scrap piece of paper and passed little pieces of paper to some of the musicians. So all the musicians had a general idea of what was going to take place, but they didn't know for sure if it was going to take place. No rehearsal. What you hear on that album is pure. Nobody rehearsed anything. They only took one take. No more than one take. You had on trumpet, of course, Miles Davis. Then you had on bass, Philly Joe Jones. On the piano, you had Bill Evans. Coltrane was on tenor saxophone. And Cannonball Adderley was on alto saxophone. On bass, you had Paul Chambers. That was considered to be one of the greatest group of musicians ever assembled to put together the particular album that is, like I said before, the greatest one that has ever been sold. Now, I wish I could play some music for you, but I'm riding in the car right now, and I'm up close to Durham, North Carolina. What I'm trying to do is get to Virginia Beach. I'm supposed to be performing there tonight. And I took a route that I thought would be shorter, which would be going through Charlotte, but I found out later on that it was longer. And instead of me getting there in 5.5 hours, I will be getting there in 6.5 hours, which basically means that I have spent an extra hour on the road, plus the fact my cell phone was not charged, and so I had to stop a few times to charge the phone, and that took time. So I'm apologizing to all of you for not being able to continue with this particular aspect of Miles, but I will reschedule the show. And if it's not tomorrow, it will be on Sunday. But it will be rescheduled, and I will make sure those particular people who are normal listeners will be informed well in advance. They will be called, or you will see the advertisement about when the show is going to take place. It probably won't be at 4:30 like normally, but I will contact you, or you can contact me to find out when it's going to take place. And I won't know that until I get to my location and sit down and go into my studio and actually schedule the whole thing. But it will be either tomorrow or Sunday, both in the afternoon. So until then, I have that scheduled Miles. You will actually have an opportunity to hear him and me talk directly about some of the aspects of his accomplishments. As opposed to the person that talked about him last time, I will be doing the talking. So it won't sound so mundane as this particular person who was broadcasting it last week. He wasn't broadcasting it. I was playing a recording. But I find that some of these recordings, even though you listen to them, want to do well, but they just don't provide the spontaneity as well as the uplift in voice. So it's not sounding the same all the time, so you get some different kinds of feelings or impressions about what you're trying to express. So until tomorrow, question, what time, you will hear again Miles Davis, also Dr. Walter Dean, me, expressing aspects of his life, because he was a tremendous musician, but a very colorful individual. So until then, this is Dr. Walter Dean for the show called Getting It Done. Have a good day, people. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.